On page 300 on the top numbers, the first word on the line is Ches Aleph, which stands for Chelek Aleph, Perech Lamed Ches Baruch Hazayin Sham. And we're starting from Vihine Maidoz Zeis. And in the English, it's the last paragraph on the right, left-hand side. Now it is known the Blessed Supreme Will. This is a letter where he asks the question, 300 in the top letters, top numbers. In your book, that would be 584 in the bottom numbers.
That's why.
What do I have? I have 642.
Yeah, in the new vault, no, it's like 642.
Yeah, 642. Yeah. I got now the seven precepts of the rabbi.
Now it is known the blessed will of the rabbi.
Okay.
So this letter, he asked the question, why specifically do you have to learn halacha every day to be muftach liyor ben olam haba, and that you specifically have to have that gives a person a richas yamim? Is anybody who learns halacha every day? What's the deal? Why specifically halacha? Where's the whole deal with that? And so we last left off. It's been going on for a couple of weeks, and we're going to finish it this week. Imirtza Hashem, that each commandment is a connection to Hashem and is rooted in Keser, in Hashem's divine will. It's the last thing that he said. So he said, it's known. That the divine will of Hashem, which is conveyed through the 613 commandments that are written in the Torah, hu mufla umakusa tamir v'nelim. It is wondrous, it's covered over, it's hidden and concealed. You got four different levels going on over there. It's like way out there. Usually when there's four, he refers to the four oilamais of Atzilus, Bri, Yetzir, and Nesia. And it's even concealed from any aspect of that also, because of the divine will for the mitzvahs far exceeds the divine will for the creation. Because the mitzvahs are the primary, they're the main thing. The world is just, and the creation process is just the vehicle by which those mitzvahs can be performed. So the real purpose of creation is the mitzvahs. So that's really far removed from our existence. The aim is gala ella b'ter shebal peh. And how is it that we see that? Is you'll look, he says, how do we know what those mitzvahs mean? Is specifically by learning the ter shebal peh, halacha. He gives an example. Mitzvah, a primary mitzvah, something which we do every day, is the mitzvah of putting on tefillin. And what does it say? You should put him as a sign on your hand, and you should put him as frontlets, whatever that word means, between your eyes. This is completely hidden. It doesn't say what to bind. It doesn't say how to bind. It doesn't say what totafos are, because it's not even a Hebrew word. The only time we have the word totafos in Tanakh, it means the tefillin of the head. Where does it mean? Between your eyes and al yadecha. Ad shepir sheter shebal peh. Until it comes down into the oral tradition. The interesting thing about all the details, if it's interesting he quotes, of all the mitzvahs that he quoted, could have quoted, there was, it would mean even greater Pella if he would have said, for example, the mitzvah of Shabbos. Because by Shabbos, all it says is Zachar Semer Shabbos Lakash, or Shomer to Shabbos.
Right.
So, and then you have what? You got a whole entire Gemara on it.
Right.
With all of the books written and ensuing thereof. Yeah. Whereas with Tefillin, okay, it takes up a couple of pages in Gemara. It's not a whole book. There's no Masechta Tefillin. Right. It's a couple of pages. Okay, some in Masechta Brachas, most of it Masechta Menachos. You know, so why does he pick the mitzvah of Tefillin to discuss? Is because every detail of the mitzvah of Tefillin is halacha l'moshe m'sinai.
Right. Yeah.
The getter of what is halacha l'moshe m'sinai is that it's from the Torah, but it's not spelled out in the Torah. at least with Shabbos, do you know how many times the mitzvah Shabbos is commanded to us in the five books? I'll give you a clue. It has something 15? To do with Shabbos.
Oh.
I would assume seven times.
Seven or 26?
That's
39?
Cool. 39.
Okay.
39.
Exactly.
39.
All right. Times. You know it wasn't seven. It's more, way more than seven.
Of course seven. Yeah, I knew it. Just seven was silly.
But yeah. Anyway, yeah. Way more than seven. 26 would have been cool, but that's got nothing really to do with Shabbos.
26,
39.
39 times it talks about it.
Yeah,
okay.
Of course.
So that, you know, so there's all kinds of allegories and allusions to the 39 mitzvahs, and then you have, it's his lo severo eish, and that is that coming lalav, is it coming lachailuk. You know, so there you have indications from the Torah what the commandments are.
Straight, yes.
In tefillin, you can't argue why do tefillin need to be black or square?
Right.
Because Moshe came down the mountain and said, by the way, these are tefillin. They are black. They are square.
Yeah.
So there's no arguing with it.
How is it then Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam argue on placement?
Because Moshe came down the mountain and he said that the Shema has to go on the left compartment of the Shul Rosh.
And so now the argument is which is left.
Which is left?
Right.
Is it the leftmost? No, front or back is two other rabbis. Is it the leftmost or do you have like the right two and the left two?
I hear.
Okay, in which case, so Rashi would say it would go here on the most left and Rabbeinu Tam would say that the first part would go there and it would skip back and forth.
Right.
Okay. And then you have the other two rabbis, Shmusha Rabbit and Raibid, that they say, is it the right of the wearer or the right of the looker? Because
right.
when you're wearing your shell rosh, you can't see it.
No.
See, it's the person's right hand is really the left side, you know. So the left side is the right side because the person looking at you, that's according to Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam.
Right.
Okay, so there you have a little place for argument because Moshe wasn't exactly clear on how it was supposed to be. And we're not worried about that because which one's correct? Well, there's a sefer, a very small sefer written by one of the Balei Tesis called Shilas and Tshuvas Min HaShamayim, Responsive from Heaven. And what he did was he had a serious question. He would put a piece of blank paper under his pillow and he would get the answer in the next morning. So one of the questions he said, asked was, who's right? I believe he was a cousin, my cousin or my grandfather. And the answer he got was, when you guys figure it out down there, we'll let you
we'll
know
let
up
you
here.
Know.
Okay, because Torah Leah means Shamayim He.
Right.
So,
wow.
So that hence this idea of why he uses tefillin as his example is because of all of the details are contained in Torah Shebaal Peh. That you have to put one compartment on the hand with all four part with all four parchments inside of one thing. And you have to have four different compartments in the head. And each one gets its own parsha. And they have to be made out of worked hide. You can't just take a hide cow skin and make tefillin out of it.
Not a good idea.
They have to be square. Okay, now, about square. How square is square?
Yeah,
okay, I once had a story that when I was in Seattle, I was a chaplain in a hospital, in a bunch of hospitals.
Okay.
So I do my every Friday I would go and do my thing. I'd go to the hospital, I put out the filling, and Shabbos candles, bring some challahs, these type of things. So it was, I already done all my rounds, and the list I was using was generally printed up like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
Is generally when the list was printed up. It's in all the hospitals when they print up the list for who's there. So anybody who came in afterwards, I would have no clue.
Right, sure.
Okay? So I get a call. It was just prior to Lichson. There's a guy in the hospital and he's Shomer Shabbos and he needs stuff for Shabbos. Okay? So, I put everything in a box. I fly into the car. I fly there. I said, good Shabbos, have a good day. Okay? And I fly back. It is now after Lichson. Okay? I've got like 5 minutes in and it's a 4 minute drive. Okay? And there's a stop sign and I saw the stop sign and I saw the cop sitting by the stop sign. And I said, I'm just going to do it. Okay, and I flew right by it. He pulled me over. I got a ticket. I parked the car. So then when he gave me the ticket, the last thing I did is I signed it. I threw the keys into the car, locked the door, and walked home. Okay, so then I went in front of the magistrate, and I tried to tell this guy that what I was doing and why I was doing it. I should check my record. He said, I don't even have any parking tickets. I have no moving violations. You should let me go. And he said to me, do you know why there are no right angles in a Greek Orthodox church? And I said, no. And he said, because only God could make a right angle, a truly right angle. So we don't even attempt. Okay? So I said, okay, I see your point. You can let me off? So he said, he tended to change it into blocking, what do you call it, threw out the 5 points, charged me extra for court costs, and said, have a nice day. Okay, which was not what I wanted. I wanted to forget about the whole thing altogether.
Sure,
okay, so now is no points. So anyway, so the question is, how square is square? Okay, if it's an 89 degree angle, it's technically speaking, it's not square.
Correct.
But as Rav Dvorkin Olva Sholem told me, is you hold the tefillin at arm's length. And if it looks square, it's square.
Okay.
That's what he said.
At arm's length.
At arm's length. You don't go like this, put the thing right up to your nose.
No, of course
not.
You don't take it. You can't tell.
You don't take, and he said, don't take a lever and a thing, you know, just like, you know, square one of those, and just like a micrometer, and he says, no, just hold it at arm's length. Does it look square? You look square. Fine. Yeah. So it's square. Okay, so it has to be square.
Okay.
And it specifically has to be black straps. One of the things that people have, especially in Lubavitch, is because when Lubavitch did it, the way the Alter Rebbe made the knot, is that you should actively engage in ukshartam. Okay, so every time you put on your tefillin, the way the Alter Rebbe's knot is you are actually tying the knot.
Right.
You have to loosen it when you take it off, and when you pull it quite, you are tying the knot. By Ashkenazim and Sephardim, all you're doing is kind of like looping it around and making that the knot is tied to your arm, but you're not tying the knot with those other ones.
Yeah.
Okay, so now.
So
yeah, but you're not tying the knot itself, you're securing the knot to your arm.
Yeah.
Okay, so. What could happen, and does happen actually quite often with Lubavitch knots, is by the rubbing back and forth, is you rub off the black. Now, once you rub off the black, especially the most important part, the most important part of the strap of your tefillin is the one that's going through the tefillin, both in the Shol Yad and the Shol Rosh.
Right.
If it's at the end of your hand, it's got a little, it's like a little off already, no big deal. But right next to the bias itself, or the strap that's circumferencing your head, those have to be black.
Right.
Okay? Now, how black is black? It should look black. I know there's something like 42 different shades of black or something like that,
okay.
You know? So, but you can't match. My mother, who was like into dress design and whatnot, always said, you cannot match black. Okay? It's just, there's too many different shades of black. You cannot match them.
Mm.
Okay? The kol shar prati halachas asiyas a tefillin, and then it's all the whole thing with how to make the tefillin.
Yeah.
All that came down halacha l'mayshim Sinai. It has to be from an animal which is a tar species, but it doesn't have to be shechted tar, and it has to be pressed in such a way, and the skins have to be worked in such a way, and it has to be done lishma. The person pressing them has to say l'shem kedushas tefillin, you know, and who could make them, who can't make them. Sha'amr bal peh. That was all conveyed orally. Al yadecha hu hazraya dafka, that when it's on your hand, it's not on your hand, it's on the arm. V'lo kafiyad, not the palm. Ubeinecha ze kadkado v'lo yametzach. When it says between your eyes, that means on the top of the forehead, not on the bridge of your nose. The cane kol mitzvah, that's just one example, because of all the details that are not mentioned in Teresh Shabbik Sav. So what do we need here? So now, in order to appreciate the ruts, and here's even this is how we're coming to the answer now, why we need to do halachas, in order to be able to appreciate the ruts of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and to bring it down so that it's usable, so halacha is the way to go. Because the just learning Pesukim, for example, or learning Midrashim, which explain Pesukim, from that, you're not going to find out what it is exactly that Hashem wants.
Right.
You'll talk about what Hashem wants, but you won't be talking what Hashem wants. And can't call Mrs. Shavateter, be Mrs. Asave, Mrs. Laisase, and so to every one of the 613 commandments, positive and negative, even those that they have no Gemara on, they're just Mishnah, like Tzaras, for example. In Parshas Tazria Metzera, you pretty much have all the details of what you need to know about Tzaras. There's not a whole lot more, but there's still, I think, maybe 9 or 11 chapters of Mishnayos about on it. But no Gemara. Einan Geluyas V'yaduas Mefarashis. We don't know what they are, they're not known, they're not explained in the Torah Shebiksav. El Yedei Torah Shebalpeh. The only way that you come to know and understand what they are is by learning the Torah Shebal Peh, learning Gemara, and then learning it to Shulchan Aruch. And by the way, if you want to learn halacha properly, the best way to learn halacha is to start with the Gemara. This is a type of learning that I first experienced really in Kolel, in yeshiva. So we spent time, even though we were learning Masechta Pesachim, Masechta Shabbos, Masechta, what was the other one that we did that was a practical one? Pesachim. Okay, we learned these, however, the theoretical, with all kinds of pilpulim, and if this says this, and that says that, and we never came to any real conclusion. And even when we learned Shulchan Aruch, we would take the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch, and we would learn the Kuntzes Achrayim. And it was just to show we could see how the Alter Rebbe understood the Gemara is what it was. And we came to Kolel, so you learn the Gemara, and after you learn the Gemara, you learn the Rishonim, and after you learn the codifiers, and after that you learn the Achrayim, like the Alter Rebbe and the Mishnah Brewer, these types, the Kaf HaChaim, and then you could see how the whole halacha is developed into even something as mundane as Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, for example. Okay, so that's the way really to learn. You get all the background behind it. Shenemar b'Shabbos loy sasa malacha. Shabbos, it says, don't do any work. And we don't know what work. When I say work, I'm usually thinking toil. That's how we usually translate work.
Sure.
And we know it's not, you know. It's like I got to be building up a sweat in order for it to be considered work. V'lay pirish mahu malacha. It doesn't explain there what work you're talking about. But in the Gemara, so it says. There's a whole parak that starts, you know, klal gadol whatever. They're in parak klal. There's arboim chaser achas. There's 40 minus 1, and these are they, and it lists them all off. V'lay tiltal avanim v'keiris kevedis. We're not talking schlepping, being a porter. Schlepping wood and schlepping stones, these type of things. Levad. He says, that's also, by the way, not allowed to do that either. U'kiyesi v'hen v'hen kala mitzvahs v'hen mitzvahs asi v'hen mitzvahs loisei hein stumas v'loy mufurashas. That they are concealed, they're not explained. U'galuyas v'yaduas and known. And the only way that they are is all yeter shebal peh. Comes through the learning through the Gemara and the Halacha. Umashum hachiksiv al ter shebal peh. And about learning ter shebal peh, it says, al titash taras amechad. Do not forsake the Torah of your mother. Specifically your mother, because the ter shebiksav is called the father. Because father and mother relationship is that the father provides an initiating germinating seed, and a development is within the mother. So also it's the same thing, the Torah Shebiksav provides the nucleus of the idea, and the full development of that idea is in Torah Shebal Peh. And that's why Torah Shebal Peh is called Imecha. Moshe Kasa B'Zayar, as it is explained in the Zohar, Meshum Shal Derech Mashal, Kamai Shekol Evari Havlat. just like his example that I just gave, just like it is that all the potty parts of a fetus, kalula metipas ha'av, are contained in the very quintessential drop that's coming from the father. Behelam gadol, in a great concealment. We can tell you, at this point, many, many things about this child that's going to be born by looking at the zygote.
Yeah.
We know so many things already. The ha'aim maitzia lidei gilei b'lidas havlad. And the mother brings it out into pile, brings it out into action. With the father, it's only a potential. Now, there's a very interesting statistic. IVF, in vitro fertilization. Okay, they take the egg from the mother, they take the semen from the sperm from the father, they put it in a petri dish, they stick a bunch of it back into the mother. It's only successful 7 to 11% of the time.
Right.
Why? Because in nature, it's only successful 7 to 11% of the time.
Interesting. Yeah.
89 to 93% of fertilized eggs don't get implanted into the mother. They just get passed out. So the same percentage is happening outside and you can't beat nature. So the father, you just got like an indication what it's going to be. With the mother, you actually have all the different body parts. So it is with all the mitzvahs. When they're in the Torah, so that's like in the father. When they get explained in the Gemara and the Poskim, so now that's in the mother. Because now you know what to do. Because you're just running around with should between like frontlets between your eyes, so you're going to stick something right on the bridge of your nose.
Right.
Like the Tzedukim did. Vereshit dekrash, ma b'ni ma'isra avicha. You look at that same pasuk that is said, don't forget the Torah of your mother. It says, listen, my son, the musa, the rebuke, the reflections of your, the ethics, there are lots of ways to translate musa, of your father. Kayater shebal peh. That refers to the written Torah. Okay, so there is a very great importance to learning chitas, chumash ut rashi. Every year to learn Chumash with Rashi. When I first became from, so I was sitting in a shul, I think it was in Long Beach, New York, outside of the Five Towns. And I was sitting there with Chumash with Rashi, and somebody came in, some guy wearing a blue hat with a feather and a little trim beard, and he said, why are you learning that? And I said, you don't learn Chumash? And he said, I learned Chumash when I was a kid. What do you learn Chumash for? Okay, you like Gemara, you know, you're wasting your time. It's bittel teir to learn Chumash. Okay, this was his attitude because, you know, it's, you know, you learn Gemara, Chumash is for kids. You know, and it's true because it's ben Chumash lemikra, and it does say, but it says, you know, we have different things. It says, even though it says that, for example, if we were to sit down right now, I was going to teach you all here a class in Aleph Beis. Okay, this is an olive, this is an oil, you put them two together, you'd be wasting your time. If you're a three-year-old, not a waste of time, it's called learning Torah. If it says quite clearly, if you could be learning Gemara and you're learning Mishnah, you're wasting your time. But it does say a person should divide their Torah learning in thirds. A third Pesukim, a third Medrash, a third Gemara. So there is a value to it, and we see that you don't want to put aside the Torah Shebiktav because of the inherent holiness in it.
Right. You say a bracha.
Yeah. you're discounting yourself a whole aspect of Hashem, which is the Chachma of Hashem, which is called Father. Getting back to how we started this whole letter, that the woman of valor is a crown to her husband, because the Teresh Bal Peh, which is called the woman of valor, which is giving birth, and it is standing lots and lots of valor, the olmeis ein misper. It says concealment to no end. Al tikra olmeis ela olamis. Don't read it concealment to no end. Read it worlds to no end. Spheres of influence. And what are the spheres of influence to no end? Ela halachis. That's referring to halacha. Because as much as there's only 613 commandments, the numbers of halachas that could be developed in those situations, it's still growing. The Shulchan Aruch didn't end it all in 1550. That was just like the next step to like direct us around. It was like, okay, here you have to make a sharp right turn. That's what the Shulchan Aruch did. It redirected and focused how we should be approaching it. But as every new thing comes into the world, you know, don't think that there's not going to be halacha involved with nanotechnology. Right. Not that I haven't seen any articles yet, but I'm kind of out of that stuff right now. But I'm sure there's things affecting halacha involving nanotechnology.
Right.
And when you get into things, when there be, you know, beam me up Scotty, when you got stuff like that, could you be beamed up on Shabbos? That question's going to have to be dealt with.
Right.
Okay, so can you have your molecules reorganized on Shabbos? Is that going to be binyan? We can talk about it right now.
Might be a question if you could ever do it.
Is it barer? Is it binyan? Why? Once they have it perfected, it's not a question of sakanas nefashis anymore. What's wrong with transporting through a beam of light?
Not sure. I was wondering. It's like we're not allowed to alter our bodies.
You're not altering.
What are you altering?
You come back the other end the same size. This is really good for Purim, this discussion.
then you'll get into the good guys who, when they transport you, you can lose that extra 10 pounds that you didn't want.
They could fix you. That's
think about that one, yeah.
They could fix you. They could, you know, take
it. Yeah, but then they stick it someplace else. It's got to go someplace.
Yeah, you get a trim and a shave, too.
Yeah.
Exactly,
okay.
Yeah.
They never had that on Star Trek. They never had that on Star Trek. Not from what I remember from when I was a kid.
You have to have a Jewish mode for the transportation.
That's right.
No.
It would have to have the Shabbos mode.
I got to keep the mole.
So no, it's like I'm saying. So the things that haven't been invented yet, so they're going to be invented, and we're going to have to talk about them in regard to halacha.
Of course
there. That's why it says you can't count how many halachas there are. Okay, if you could open up a Shulchan Aruch and count how many halachas there are. It's not that many. You know, it's going to be several thousand. I don't think there's 10,000 halachas in Shulchan Aruch. You know? But he says, below Chushban, because it's still ongoing. Every detail of every halacha is an expression of the revelation of the divine will of Hashem, which is hidden in Torah Shebiksav. Because when it says Zachar is Yom HaShabbos L'Kad Shos, so deeply, way down deep, hidden in there, it's talking about warp reactors and traveling faster than the speed of light on Shabbos.
Sure it is.
V'ratzon Elohim Baruch Hu L'mayla Mayla M'mayla Z'chochma Ilah. And now, so the Torah Shebiksav itself, we said, was the Chochma of Hashem, but the mitzvahs and the details about the mitzvahs, that's from the Ratzon of Hashem. That's why we say then, K'may Keser HaTeresha Ala Meichin Shebereish. Ratzon is called a crown that goes on top of the head. L'chinikra Halachas B'Shem Taga V'Kistra Shel Torah. Therefore, it says Halachas are called the crown of the Torah. V'Hashayna Halachas Muftach Lo Shehen Olam Haba. And that's what we said, that everybody who learns halacha is guaranteed a place in the world to come, because specifically through the halacha we can relate now to the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what is Olam Haba? When you're talking about it, it's the Gilui of the Ratzon of Hashem. And so now the Ratzon of Hashem is coming out B'Gilui, so it's specifically through learning halacha. Shuben Olam Haba Al Yedei Hislab Shusa Neran Shalei B'Ratzon Olam Baruch Hu Kanal. And how does that happen is because when you learn a halacha, like he said way back in chapter 5, so the halacha encompasses your brain as you are encompassing the halacha. When you come to understand the ins and outs of this halacha, so the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu envelops your brain as well. So we have this total total involvement. And he says there that this is a yichud nifla she'en yichud kamayu begashnis. It's a truly wondrous unity that exists, that ensues. When a person learns halacha, the unity that is between them and the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to such an extent is there a unification, we have no physical example to indicate how unified they really are. And thus ends chapter 29, to be continued. Very good.